Senate please come to order?
Will the members please vote to signify their presence?
The roll shows 19 members present this morning. Senator Taylor was excused from the call of the Senate today.
Please stand for the invocation by Chaplain Johnny Reimer of the Ox Bay Bible Church.
Let us pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your mercy and grace and that you have allowed us to see the light of another new day. Give us the wisdom so that we may use the hours of this day properly to complete the tasks that have been assigned to us. Today we would intercede in behalf of the children and youth of our state and nation. Dear God, keep them safe from the forces of sin and evil that are bent on destroying them. We ask that much love, wisdom, patience, and self-discipline would be granted to the parents to be the models for these children and youth which they so desperately need. We pray for the teachers and others working with our children that they shall be able to impart to them, by instruction and example, those realities that will properly shape their lives. In these days of gathering gloom, we pray for our families and churches that they will be the light to guide us in the way of truth. Grant us, O Lord, the discernment and the courage to set our hearts more upon the spiritual things of life rather than the material, upon the eternal realities more than on the present. Give us the strength to use this present to do your will and to faithfully serve our present generation. Amen.
Senator Petula, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Jarrell.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the secretary please certify the journal?
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journal for the 59th legislative day.
Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent the journal be approved as certified by the Senate secretary.
Without objection, the journal is approved as certified by the Senate secretary. That brings us to introduction of guests. Are the guests for introduction? Senator Little.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have three distinguished guests in the Ziegler Gallery. Homer City Council Member Brian Swiven, Soldotna Council Member Ken Lancaster, and renowned businesswoman and civic leader Mavis Blasey Lancaster. Welcome to the Senate.
Senator Phillips.
Mr. President, in Ziegler Gallery, we have a resident from our community, Eagle River, and she's down here on her own coin relating to educational issues. She is a teacher, and her name is Becky Kasten.
Senator Jackal.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a couple of students here here in the Ziegler Gallery that I'd like to introduce. There's also a couple, I think, in the Miller Gallery. These students are here from Mount Edgecombe High School. They're visiting Juneau as they produce some informational video on the CDQ program. And the students in the Ziegler Gallery are Natasha Putnikoff from St. Paul's Genesis, and Lisa McCurlyeff, also from St. Paul. And in the Miller Gallery are Calvin Castavera from St. George and Jamie Jimowak from Elm. Please help me welcome them.
Senator Jarrell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I see in the Miller Gallery I have a constituent from Kodiak. I'd like to welcome him to the Senate. He's not too new to the political scene. Mr. Jim Fisk.
Further introductions. Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. In Senator Miller's gallery, there's three individuals I'd like to introduce. First, we have visiting with us today who will be speaking to the Juneau and Alaska World Affairs Council, Ulrich Schiller, who is with the German newspaper Die Zeit. And Mr. President, accompanying him, a couple of my constituents, Judge Thomas Stewart and his wife Jane.
Judge Stewart, as a former member, you have the privilege of the floor if you wish to exercise it. Thank you. Further introductions? If there are no further introductions, that brings us to messages from the governor.
Message dated March 10th. Dear Mr. President, I have signed the following resolution and transmitted in gross and rule copies to Lieutenant Governor's Office for filing. House Joint Resolution Number 25, relating to implementation of the Aleutian Trade Act of 1990, Legislative Resolve Number 5. Dear Mr. President, I have read the following resolutions and transmitted in gross and rule copies to Lieutenant Governor's Office for permit filing. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 1, relating to 25th Annual Boy State, Legislative Resolve Number 2. House Concurrent Resolution Number 5, relating to 25th Annual Girl State, Legislative Resolve Number 4. House Concurrent Resolution Number 6, amended Senate, relating to Armed Forces History Month, Legislative Resolve Number 5. And those are all the messages from the governor this morning.
Messages from the House?
Message dated March 10th. Dear Mr. President, the House has passed and returned Senate Bill Number 30, an act extending the termination date of the Alaska Minerals Commission. This bill has been sent to enrollment, and those are all messages from the House.
Communications.
The following report has been received. Directory of Approved Alcoholism and Drug Abuse Programs, January 1993, from Commissioner Mahler, Department of Health and Social Services. And those are the only communications this morning.
Reports to standing committees.
Judiciary Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 9, relating to an amendment to the Constitution of the United States prohibiting desecration of the flag of the United States. Adjourned, the committee recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senator Taylor, Chair, concurring, Senators Donnelly and Jacko. Senator Little signed no recommendation, zero fiscal note attached. Senate Joint Resolution Number 9 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill Number 105, relating to motor vehicle dealers, recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute. Reports are back as follows. Senator Taylor, Chair, and Senator Jacko signed due pass. Senators Little and Donnelly signed no recommendation, zero fiscal note attached. Senate Bill Number 105 has no further referral.
Rules.
Judiciary Committee considered CS for House Joint Resolution Number 21, Judiciary, honoring Thurgood Marshall. And enjoy the committee recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senator Taylor, Chair, concurring Senators Donnelly, Little, and Jacko. Previous House, zero fiscal note. CS for House Joint Resolution Number 21, Judiciary, has no further referral.
Rules.
Judiciary Committee considered House Bill 90, making corrective amendments to the Alaska statute, recommends it be replaced with Senate CS and due pass. Report was signed by Senator Taylor, Chair, concurring Senators Jacko and Little. Senator Donnelly signed no recommendation, zero fiscal note attached. House Bill Number 90 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Rules Committee considered CS for House Bill 45, Finance, Appropriations for School Construction Debt Retirement, recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Jacko, Chair, concurring Senators Rieger and Halford. Senator Little signed no recommendation. Senator Jarve signed support House bill. This bill does appear on today's calendar, and those are all the standing committee reports this morning, Mr. President.
Reports of special committees.
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
There are no Senate resolutions.
Introduction of Senate bills.
There are no Senate bills.
That brings us to the consideration of the daily calendar. Would the Senate please stand at ease? Will the Senate please come back to order? We are on the consideration of the daily calendar. Will the Secretary please read the first item on today's calendar?
CS for House Bill 45, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act making appropriations to the Department of Education for support of kindergarten, primary, and secondary education and community school programs and for school construction debt retirement and providing for an effective date. Finance Committee considered the bill, recommended the request of Senate CS and to pass. Report was signed by Senators Frank and Pierce, co-chairs, concurring Senators Jacko, Kelly, Rieger, and Sharp. Senator Petula signed no recommendation, increased instructional unit. Rules Committee considered the bill, recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Jacko, Chair, concurring Senator Halford. Senator Little signed no recommendation. Senator Jarve signed support House bill. There's a Finance Senate Committee substitute.
Senator Pierce.
Consent that the Finance CS for House Bill 45 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Finance CS is moved. There is objection. Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was wondering if the Finance co-chair could explain the differences between the bill that came over and the Senate Finance CS and the rationale behind the differences.
Senator Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll be happy to. As I think all members of this body are aware, when the House Finance Committee moved... the bill and it went to the floor, it had the bill that the House Finance Committee actually, or the House actually passed, had incorrect numbers for the single site allocations. The House asked us to please fix those, so the numbers that are in for single sites are based on the Department of Education's final numbers that were based on the ADMs. There is also a deletion from the original House bill of some of the single sites, and the amount for single sites is reduced to $2,291,770.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you. I think there are two points there. I had a hard time hearing also. I'm not sure if the mics are not working on that side. But one, you said some of the changes were based on DOE figures, revised figures. That may be self-explanatory, but could you explain to me the rationale behind elimination of some of the sites of some of the schools that were in the House bill that are not in the Senate bill? Of all those, if you could explain the rationale.
Senator Pierce.
In past years, there was a negotiation between the House and the Senate and the third floor over what the final list of those school sites would be.
Senator Duncan?
Mr. President, I would guess I'd like to know the specifics of the negotiation. I had not heard about negotiation between the third floor and the House and Senate about which single sites should be included or not included. Is there a further explanation that we could get on what that means by negotiations? There has to be a rationale even in negotiations. And that rationale should be made clear on the floor of this body as to why certain single sites were negotiated out and certain ones weren't.
Is there further debate on the adoption of the committee substitute for House Bill 45 Finance? Senator Jarrow.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess yesterday during the special orders, I brought up my concern on the action taken by the Finance Committee of this majority in regards to reducing the number of single-site schools under Section 1 of the bill that's before us, and reducing the 9 schools that were originally included in the House bill. And it's still not very clear to me as to how or why these schools were eliminated. What seems to me was part of the argument that was given that there was these school districts were in receipt of forest receipt monies. If that's the case, it would be good to hear that from the finance chair or co-chairs. At least it gives us an excuse as to why these schools were eliminated. And if that's the case, then I would like to call the body's attention to a newspaper article, and Mr. President, I know you're giving me quite a bit of latitude on this, that appeared in Juneau's paper on Monday, and in that they're projecting quite a reduction in the forest receipts this year. As in some school districts have indicated, as much as a 60% reduction in those receipts, and still, there's no guarantee that all the money from those forest receipts go into the school district. They have to be split within the community, and the community municipality makes the determination. Those monies are split between the school and the roads in those areas of impact. And if that was the excuse that was given, there were certainly a number of schools that were included that received forest receipts. And I guess I'm still a little bit concerned here because I don't think we're dealing with this in an equitable fashion. I think a lot of people operating under the misunderstanding that the forest receipts money that are just extra monies for the school districts. But when we look at the single dual site schools, the single dual site schools take their basic foundation formula funding that they receive, and with that they not only run the school, but they run the school district as well. And what we're experiencing here is anywhere from an 8% to 16% reduction in these funds as far as each school district is concerned. And I would just like to equate that there to some of you that represent some of the larger school districts here in the state, and Anchorage probably being the largest. I think under the funding formula that we have before us, under the entitlement program, or under the foundation program, Anchorage would receive approximately $265,000 or $265 million. And if you take 10% of that, that would be a $26 million reduction. And if you go half again as much, you're looking at probably about a $42 million reduction, which would represent about 15%. And you could bet there that we would hear the cries from this municipality that would shake not only the halls of this chamber, this building, but the entire state. Now, you have picked on 9 rural small communities, of which there is, not good representation, but you're looking at a representation of school children here that fall in the Alaskan minority group. Most of these are Alaskan Native students. And I still have not heard the justification. The argument that was brought forth when I inquired of a member of the majority last night is that, well, we normally don't fund the single dual site schools there right at the beginning, but we'll come back and deal with it in the supplemental. And this is funding for fiscal year 94. Well, that's a true argument. I'm not going to dispute that. But what we have done is you have selectively picked out 21 or 11 of the single dual site schools, and you say, we're going to go ahead and fund you full funding in this bill for fiscal year 94. But the other 9, you're going to have to come back at some point there and ask for a supplemental. The political strength there that the single dual site schools have had for a number of years has been the consolidation of all 21 single dual site schools. So what you've actively done here is you've taken $1 million approximately and have taken this out of the budget, have defunded the appropriations there that they would receive for what we could consider full funding for education, and you've left them, these 9 school districts, to falter in the wind or flutter in the wind or whatever we want to call it, and to fend for themselves. And again, I ask the question there, what was the motivation behind this? And I went through the whole list, and from the responses that we've had from and the concerns from all the school districts around the state, that there is a problem in the inequity in the funding in the single dual site funding program, that all schools there, that the formula should have been adjusted to compensate for this at the beginning. It hasn't. As a result, we've been coming back since 1988 seeking supplemental funding for these schools. And I'm very much concerned there that these school districts here are now going to face some very serious problems with their funding and being able to carry on the programs that they have for fiscal year 94, while all the other school districts in the state are able to plan ahead. These school districts here are not going to be able to plan on having the additional funding to operate until they come back in a supplemental request form, which is going to be probably 1 year from now. And that's to equate them for the funding that all the other school districts are receiving at this time, which means there that you'll have people, teachers laid off this next fall, or they won't receive their notice of retention. And it's very confusing out there. And again, I'm not convinced there that there are some other motivations in here. Certainly, I'm not going to exclude any, but I think there that the targeted group this time has been the wrong group. These are the small schools, the schools that are in real dire need of funding. Their source of funds are very limited, other than what they receive from the state. Some of the funds that they receive from the forest receipts monies, some of the funds that they receive under Public Law 874. And we have taken a pretty good chunk out of that, as you will be able to hear some of the arguments there to try to put these schools in. We will share with you those, or I will share with you, the impacts on those school districts is what it means to their teaching staff, their maintenance, their programs, and so on. But here again, I know that probably the majority is going to deal with this as a procedural vote. That's a great cloak to hide behind, but again, the result is going to be the impact not only on the communities, the people in the communities, the school districts, but the impact is going to be on the children. And this is, again, as I mentioned yesterday, it's a very deplorable action there that this majority is taking to try to leverage whatever they want by holding hostage the children of this state and the children of these nine communities, and these nine communities coming from rural Alaska, seven of them from down here in the Panhandle. And we allow other communities here in the lower section, or the in the Panhandle here, to go ahead and to go untouched, if you will, and in some cases their funding increased at the sake of being able to reduce these nine school districts, which I think is very deplorable. I think that the action again is not so much going to be felt against the minority if politics is being played. The action is felt against the students.
Further debate on the adoption of the Finance Committee substitute, Senator Lincoln.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. President, I would be remiss if I did not stand up and speak on what is occurring here in this body today. Just a few moments ago, we all bowed our head in prayer for our children. And hopefully we all said amen after that prayer. And yet, we're standing here now and talking not about the needs of our children throughout the state, but we're talking about who should be punished and who should not be punished by whether they are in the minority or in the majority. And I feel that I can say that in all honesty, because after yesterday, I went back and I jotted down each name beside each single site of the 21 single sites. And especially after listening to the response that was the question that was asked on why the committee, the Finance Committee, what was the rationale? And the response was it was negotiated with the House leadership. Not because these communities deserve less and these deserve more based upon what they have received in the past or what they have now or the number of students. It was simply because it was negotiated with the House leadership. Now we're standing here and I looked at each and every single one, and I said, surely this body, I don't mind if you all want to bury my bills,
I don't mind, because I know that as a minority, that is probably what's going to happen anyway. But when you start talking about my children throughout this state of Alaska, and we put them on the line, our children's future, of whether they can be the leaders that we all hopefully are in this body. And we say no because, Senator Lincoln, you're in the minority. It has nothing to do with your particular schools. It has to do because you're in the minority and you need your hands slapped. And each and every single one of these 21 sites, I put a name beside. And with the exception of one, which I'm sure that one was even given great thought as to why that was left in, they were zero, not even reduced. They were zero. Without even consultation of Georgia or Senator Lincoln, what is that going to do to your district? What will that do to the education of our children? For 3 years, I've heard of us talk about education of our children, that education should be held harmless. How is this holding our education harmless when it's geared toward rural bush Alaska? How, when we look at this, how can we justify that the senator from Wrangell gets $47,000 increase for his single site, but the representative that represents 75 communities gets zero for their two single sites? What is the justification? That's all I'm hearing. Is we want an answer as to how you can justify that. How can you justify going down as the Finance Committee and this body who is to represent the state of Alaska? How can you justify, because we are the minority, your children must suffer for that? Because you won't, because you will not join the majority, because you are not of the party, that your children must suffer. It doesn't cause me to suffer, my friends of this floor. It causes my children, it causes my community, it causes my parents, it causes my grandparents to suffer. How can you, in good conscience, have just a few moments ago bowed our head for our children and then do this?
Senator Kelly?
Mr. President, let's put some perspective on this Senate Committee Finance Substitute. We're proposing to spend $774,327,070 on education in the state of Alaska. That's more money than has ever been spent before in education. That simple. The single-site school districts that are being referred to are being fully funded under the laws of the state of Alaska. Over the years, they've been used to getting a bonus, a windfall, gravy, above and beyond the laws of the state of Alaska. It's not going to happen in this bill today.
Senator Lincoln.
I am asking for equal treatment here. From the previous speaker, that when the previous speaker stands up and says that the single sites have had too much gravy, then you tell me how the majority leader can get $47,000 increase in the single site for his district, but I get zero and every single minority member gets zero except for one, but every majority person gets either an increase or the same amount.
Senator Duncan?
Mr. President, the senator from Rampart makes a very compelling argument. and we're not getting a response. And the senator from East Anchorage says, well, they've been on the gravy train. These single sites have been on the gravy train for years, and that's going to stop. Well, I don't think they've been on the gravy train for years. I disagree with you on that. I think we need to change the laws. We have a funding formula that takes into consideration their needs. But if you're going to stop the gravy train for one, you should stop it for all, if that's what you're going to call it. And we just can't get a response, Mr. President. We just can't get a response. You know, I keep hearing the argument, perhaps it's because of the forest receipts. Well, if you took out these single sites because they get forest receipts, then why is Wrangell and Petersburg still there? They got $800,000 or $700,000 each, and I'm not begrudging them that. Maybe they deserve that. But why is there not equal treatment? That's what the question is. Why is there not equal treatment from this body? And there are not. The senator from Rampart makes the point very, very well. It's not individual members of this body who are being hurt. It's the children of this state who are being hurt. All we're asking for is some type of rationale and explanation of what went on behind that closed door. What happened in those closed door negotiations that made a determination that nine schools in this state and their children should suffer?
Further debate on the adoption of the finance CS? Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, I'm wondering if I could ask the Senate Secretary to read the Finance Committee report on the Finance Committee substitute again, please.
Without objection, would the Secretary read the Finance Committee's report again?
Finance Committee considered CS for House Bill 45 Finance, recommends it be replaced with Senate CS, and majority do pass. Report was signed by Senators Frank and Pierce, co-chairs, concurring. Senators Jackal, Kelly, Rieger, and Sharp. Senator Curtula signed no recommendation and increased instructional units.
Senator Duncan?
Mr. President, the purpose behind having a report ready again is I want
the public to clearly understand what happened in the Finance Committee. A seven-member Finance Committee, six members of that Finance Committee coming from all areas of this state, six members of that Finance Committee voted do pass. We support what we did. We support cutting out nine rural school districts. No matter where we come from in this state, we sit on that Finance Committee, whether we're from urban Alaska or rural Alaska, we supported cutting out rural school districts. That was the way that report was signed. I want that made clear, and there are, if the co-chairs can't give the rationale, maybe the other four members who signed due pass can give their rationale for cutting out rural Alaskan children and the benefit they should be receiving. I'd like to hear that explanation.
Senator Jaro.
Thank you, Mr. President. Maybe I rose too fast here or in haste there. Maybe somebody in the majority was going to respond to that. And if they are, I'd certainly relinquish the floor. I did hesitate. There was no movement, so I will continue. I just wanted to bring something back into perspective here. The gravy that was spoken about here by the distinguished colleague there from East Anchorage amounts to $1,175,800. $1,175,800. Now let's look at the perspective. What is the total amount of this funding package for education? $774,327,070. That's not a whole lot of gravy. Yeah. It could be there that what is gravy to one person, one person's perspective there, certainly could be the meat and potatoes for somebody else. And I think that this is the case here that we're seeing in what's happening to the single dual site schools.
Mr. President.
Senator Taylor.
The issue before the House is whether or not we're going to adopt the Senate committee substitute for a House bill. The reason we're asking that we adopt the Senate committee substitute is that the House bill was flawed. It was flawed to the extent that the numbers were wrong that the House passed. their own House Finance Committee did not have the same numbers reported out of its committee that the printer put on the bill that came before the House. Thus, the bill that came now to the Senate is a flawed piece of legislation, and it was necessary for the Finance Committee in this body to create another piece of legislation with the correct numbers in it. Every single school district in this state is being fully funded under this legislation. All school transportation is being funded, and all bond debt reimbursement is being funded. That's over $775 million, and this should be a day of rejoicing in this House, primarily because it's the earliest we've probably attacked education funding in years in June. Instead, we're debating whether or not additional items should be financed over and above basic education. It's a long session. There's still plenty of time to resolve that. I know how it's been resolved for the last 4 years and how much I had to struggle to make certain that it was. And I will join with those people who feel concerns about that to work with them to get it resolved. But on this vote, in this body, at this time, all we're deciding is whether or not we're going to have the correct numbers in front of us that the House passed, or are we going to have the incorrect numbers. That's the issue. It is not the whole issue of education funding, which will come up before us in other legislation. I hope we will see that yet this year.
Mr. President.
Senator Curtula.
Mr. President, if you believe that explanation, let me tell you about the toothpaste.
Senator Lincoln.
Mr. President, I too would be rejoicing here if I had my single site get a $45,000 increase over what was originally put in there by the House. Is the majority leader suggesting that the House erred in having a House flawed version come over, that the House, in fact, had intended to cut all of the minority members, and since they didn't cut the minority members, then it was up to the Senate to do that? I didn't gather that the House felt that the minority punishment was not taken into consideration when this bill came over. So is the majority leader suggesting that the flaws that the House erroneously forgot to cross out all the minority members in the single site districts?
Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, I was amazed at the majority leader's explanation of what happened here, but I guess that's why he was an attorney, or is an attorney. I'd like to see the document. As I understand, the majority leader's position is that the changes were made in this flawed piece of legislation because new figures were presented. Are you trying to tell us, Mr. Majority Leader, that DOE presented a new document that had not only just changed figures for all the districts but also deleted 9 of the single sites? Are we putting this on DOE's back? Is their recommendation that we not fund these 9 single sites? Is that what you're saying? That's what his argument was, Mr. President. Made no sense at all. Made no sense at all. I mean, you can struggle to try to justify what you're doing, but the real way to justify what you're doing is just tell us straight out what happened. Well, we're grown men and women. If you just went through the list and said this is a majority and this is a minority member, therefore any minority member's district that we can possibly harm, we're going to, just tell us straight out. That's your prerogative. You've got 11 votes. Don't hide behind it. It's obvious that's what happened. It's obvious.
Further debate on the adoption of Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 45. If there's no further debate, the question before the Senate is, shall Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 45 be adopted in lieu of the original bill? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? The And so Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 45 Finance has been adopted in lieu of the original bill by a vote of 11 yeas, 8 nays.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill 45 Finance by the Finance Committee, an act making appropriations to the Department of Education for support of kindergarten, primary, and secondary education and community school programs, and for school construction debt retirement, and providing for an effective date. There's amendment number one by Senators Lincoln and Jara, page 1, line 5, and this amendment has been distributed.
Senator Lincoln?
Mr. President, I ask for an at ease, please.
The Senate please stand at ease? Will the Senate please come back to order?
Mr. President?
Amendment number one has been read. Senator Taylor?
Yes, I'd ask unanimous consent at this time that we recess for the purposes of a minority caucus off the floor from 12 until 12:30.
Senator Duncan?
I appreciate the majority leader making our announcement for minority caucus. Is this the way you're going to start doing this, Mr. Majority Leader?
I wasn't trying to suggest any such thing. You do whatever you want. I was only explaining why we were leaving the floor.
We were going to explain that.
Senator Duncan?
Senator Little?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move and ask unanimous consent that we have a brief recess for the purposes of a minority caucus.
Senator Taylor, did you make the motion to recess? You moved to. Now we have two motions. Senator Taylor, did you make a motion?
I did. I moved that we recess until 12:30.
Okay, then the second motion is not in order, but the announcement is.
Thank you. Should I remove my motion then? I will therefore withdraw my motion. Yeah,
it is ineffective, but without objection, we will stand in recess from 12 until 12:30. Will the Senate please come back to order? I believe we are on amendment number one, which was by Senators Lincoln and Zaroff. Senator Duncan?
A call, sir.
The Senate is under a call. The call is rapidly being satisfied. We'll stand at ease momentarily until at least Senator Lincoln gets here, since it was her amendment. Will the Senate please come back to order? The call has been satisfied. We're under debate on amendment number one. Is there further debate? Senator Lincoln?
Mr. President, I move amendment number one.
The amendment has been read. It has been moved. Senator Lincoln, speaking on your amendment.
Mr. President, under amendment number one, you can see that I have changed the allocations here, deleting, I don't know if you want me to read it, the figures, and inserting Galena City School District. So it's I don't know where my figure is here, but I think it's 150,000, something like that. But the figures would allow then the insertion of the Galena City School single site. Mr. President, just for information, this particular amendment would allow that in the Galena, it's 150,000, and would allow that if this amendment did not succeed, this single site money makes up 8% of the total budget of the Galena City School. This 150,000 would also impact the staffing. It would result in a 20% increase in the teacher-student ratio. It will be the loss will result in a 1.172 loss per ADM. Last year, Galena City School had to cut 423,000 from their budget. The additional 150,000 get my thoughts together here. Last year, in that $420,000 cut that they had to take, they cut 5.5 teaching positions and a half-time administrative position, plus general cuts across most line items. If they had not received the $150,000 in the single-site money last year, they would have had to cut a total of $577,000, or over $500,000. The letters that I have been receiving from the Galena City School, in part, some of them, one in particular from the school board, states that when the Alaska State Senate is considering something as important as funding for the education of its school children, I am sure that its members would not even consider playing, quote, political games with such bills. I am sure that all senators would agree that the future of Alaska depends on having well-educated children. I do hope, however, going on further, this is from the president of the Galena School District, I do hope, however, that the Senate can provide ample justification to the public explaining why certain districts were dropped from the single-site list. The Senate should also be aware that the education lobby, which includes school boards, parent groups, superintendents, teachers, all look at education of Alaskan children as a whole. If any school districts are unfairly treated, you can be sure that you will have offended all school districts in Alaska, not just one, as we are unified in our desire to provide the best education for all Alaskan children. Mr. President, with the communication that I've received, that I shared a small portion with you on there. I do also echo what the Galena superintendent and the Galena president of the school boards have to say, that we cannot hold our children hostage to deleting certain single sites and not deleting others and not being treated equitably or fairly across the state, that these are, for the Galena City School, that they do not have a tax base, they do not have another source to get these funds from. When we talk about $150,000, it doesn't sound like much to urban legislators, but $150,000, when you talk about it in terms of 8% of their total budget, that is very meaningful. When you, if you took 8% of the budget of your school budget and try and provide quality education for your children, you would understand how desperate Galena City School District is right now in saving the $150,000 for their particular school. And I urge Mr. President that Amendment 1 be passed if we are talking about equity across the state, if we're talking about fairness, if we're talking about providing the best education for our children, for our future leaders of tomorrow, that they may one day come and take this seat from me and other seats from others that are within this body. I urge all members to push their green button for Amendment Number 1.
Senator Kelly.
Just an observation. Galena has the lowest pupil-teacher ratio in the state of Alaska, 6.5 students per teacher. In comparison, Juneau has about 18 students per teacher. Ketchikan has about 18 students per teacher. Galena has 6.5 students per teacher.
Further debate on Amendment Number 1. Senator Jarrow.
Thank you, Mr. President. As we're all certainly aware, there are multi-grade schools there that we do at times have student-teacher relationships. There are ratios there that are not quite consistent as they are in some of the urban areas. But let me mention there that some of the information I have on Galena, that the figures that I have from the compiled by Department of Education, Office of Data Management, October 1st, 1991, that Galena has 168 students, total students, and that 89.2% are Alaska Native. I rest my case.
Further debate on amendment number one? If there's no further debate on amendment number one, the question before the Senate is, shall amendment number one to the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 45 Finance pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number one has failed to pass the Senate by a vote of 8 yeas, 11 nays. Would the Secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment number two by Senator Jaroff, page 1, line 5, and this has been distributed.
Senator Jaroff.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number two.
We have a motion to adopt amendment number two. There is objection. Senator Jaroff speaking to amendment number two.
Thank you, Mr. President. Amendment number two would restore the funding for the single dual-site school of the Huna School District. And the information that I have here pertaining to the district is that there are approximately 239 or 240 students, and about 70% of these are Alaska Native students. The reduction, combined with the reduction in the tuition funds by DOE, will amount to approximately $200,000, a total cut to the Huna School District, or approximately $750 per student, resulting in a loss of 5 classified and 2 certificated positions, as well as substantial reductions in classroom equipment and supplies. And it doesn't mention about the maintenance and operations, but this reduction here is having a severe impact on the school district. But let me kind of mention there that, Mr. President, I know that there is going to be the attempt there to rectify this problem at a later date. But what we're causing, again, is you're causing the grief, the anguish, the pain, the eventual groveling at some point later on to come back and ask that these funds be placed in, whereas a number of the other single dual site schools will not have to do this in 1994. And I think this is where the inequity comes in. And I might, well, I won't mention that until afterwards, Mr. President, but again, I would ask for support of amendment number two.
Further debate on amendment number two? There's no further debate on amendment number two. The question before the Senate is, shall amendment number two to Senate committee substitute House Bill 45 Finance be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so, amendment number two to committee substitute for House Bill 45 Finance has failed to pass the Senate by a vote of 8 yeas and 11 nays. Will the Secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment number three by Senator Jaroff, page 1, line 5, and this amendment has been distributed.
Senator Jaroff.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move amendment number three.
We have a motion to adopt amendment number three. There is objection. Senator Jaroff speaking to the amendment.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. The amount that would be inserted on page 1, line 5 would reflect the change at the top of the bill, and then on page 2 is where we would insert the Heidelberg School District and the amount of approximately $103,000, $103,000 $1,090. And here again, making the argument and bringing up the concern there that if these schools are being eliminated because of forest receipts, then the information that we're receiving is the forest receipts there are going to be approximately half of what they received last year. And still, as indicated by the correspondence that we've received, that this portion is shared upon by the municipality for roads and not totally dedicated to all to education. But this reduction represents approximately an 8% loss to their budget, translating to approximately two teachers from a staff of 12, a loss of about two to three classified positions, a combination of second and third grade classes, and probably more importantly, a loss of six classes at the high school curriculum, and a reduction of approximately $890 per their ADM or their and again, out of 120 students, Heidelberg has approximately 88.3 native student population. And part of the correspondence that we've received here is that, you know, this person writes there, the unfortunate thing is that the people seem to be thinking of is that this is a matter of money and ignoring the fact that we are talking about students. And I think this is what it finally boils down to. It's not the issue of money overall, but I think what we're ending up there is we're punishing students in the end.
Further debate on amendment number three? If there's no further debate on amendment number three, the question before the Senate is, shall amendment number three to Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 45 Finance be adopted by the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? So amendment number three to Senate committee substitute for House Bill 45 Finance has failed to be adopted by a vote of 8 yeas, 11 nays. Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment number four by Senator Jarrah, page one, line five, and this has been distributed.
Senator Jarrah.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move amendment number four.
Amendment number four has been moved. Is there objection? There is objection. Senator Jarrah.
Thank you, Mr. President. This amendment would amount to an increase in the House Bill 45 in the amount of approximately $134,200. And this would be line item to go with the CAKE school. This reduction represents a budgetary reduction for the district there of approximately 16%. And the figures that I used this morning, if you were to apply that to the Anchorage FY93 operating budget of approximately $265 million, that this would be a reduction of approximately $42 million. And I'm sure there that you would hear to no end the impact that it would have on the Anchorage School District, or a 16% reduction in any other school district would be felt considerably. And what we can figure from this information here is that this reduction will result in the layoff of three teachers, a 2% increase of the pupil teacher ratio, of which I'm sure the senator from East Anchorage will appreciate that, a reduction of $757 per ADM, a loss of music, art, and the high school language arts program, which has an effect there on students there that wish to go on to college. And here again, out of about 181 students, CAKE has a native representation of about 79.5%.
Is there further debate on amendment number four? If there's no further debate on amendment number four, the question before the Senate is, shall amendment number four to Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 45 Finance be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number four to Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 45 Finance has failed to be adopted by a vote of 8 yeas, 11 nays. Does the secretary have further amendments?
Amendment number five by Senator Jaroff, page 1, line 5.
Senator Jaroff.
Thank you, Mr. President. This amendment has been duplicated on members' desks as well. I move the amendment.
There's a motion to adopt amendment number five. Is there objection? There is objection. Senator Jaroff.
Thank you, Mr. President. This would restore the funding for the Quahog City School District. And here again, this item not being included in the education funding bill for funding for FY94 would reflect approximately a 10.67% reduction to the FY94 budget. This translates into three teachers, which represents 17.65% of their staff. An increase of the student, some people really like this one, increase the student teacher ratio by 30%. And cut state revenue to the district by $735 per ADM. And again, Quahog is one of our communities there where we have 207 students, and approximately 60 of these students are Native students.
Is there further debate on amendment number five? Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've been waiting for some response to the senator from Kodiak's statement says he's moved these amendments and made the rationale for adopting them. Maybe with the others, he moved, as I recall, Cake was defeated, Heidelberg, which was defeated, Hoonah, which was defeated, Galena moved by the senator from Rampart. Those are located on different islands. So maybe there's some type of rationale there, but as I remember, Quahog and Craig are connected by highway, by road, 7 miles between the two communities, pretty closely related communities. Why is one different than the other in this case? Craig needs their money, so does Quahog. What is the rationale here? I can't understand the rationale. Is there a difference in those two communities and their need to provide education and to have this money that I'm missing? I guess the answer is no, but there's a political reason somewhere, which no one wants to say on this floor. Mr. President, I think that the motions that the senator are making make a lot of sense and that there deserves to be a response to his statements. And the majority should feel free to stand up and make that response.
Is there further debate on amendment number five? If there's no further debate, the question before the Senate is, shall amendment number five to Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 45 Finance be adopted by the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number five to Committee Substitute House Bill 45 Finance has failed to be adopted by a vote of 8 yeas, 11 nays. Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment number six by Senator Jaroff, page 1, line 5, and this amendment has been distributed.
Senator Jaroff, do you wish to
Thank you, Mr. President. Move the amendment.
Amendment number 6 has been moved. There is objection. Senator Jarrow.
Thank you, Mr. President. This amendment would insert back into the budget the school district of Pelican, and would result to adding to the total amount of $775 million, an addition of $57,950. This one might be a little bit closer. Out of 46 students, there's approximately 35% of these are native students, so 65% would be non-native. This reduction represents approximately a 8% reduction. Over the past 3 years, this school district has utilized $230,000 of its own reserve funds, which are now depleted. The reduction means the loss of one teacher and a half-time special ed aide. It'll increase the PTR, the pupil-teacher ratio, by 20%. This one will have a severe impact on the district's budget by approximately $1,238 per student. There will be programs that will be impacted, and they are as follows: the elimination of preschool and distance education, 63% cut in the community schools program, a drastic reduction in the student extracurricular program. It'll minimize special education contract services, and the elimination of staff, board, administration, professional development programs, and a letter from the administrator of the community feeling there that they strongly support education, so a number of their programs are going to be in jeopardy, that they will want to put more money back towards education, paying their own way as much as they can. And at the risk of that, the harbor developments on improvements that are being emplaced upon them as a community by the state will have to be foregone. Question is then, does the state assume the liability on that? They're also in need of a health care facility, of which those funds will have to be diverted, or part of those funds diverted to the school district. And again, they emphasize that it's 60% in the U.S. Forest Service receipts money. And their final quote here in this letter is, no more, the rope is at an end. So I don't know how much more can be said on that, Mr. President. Some of these schools are among the poorest school districts in the state with some of the greatest needs. And they're not saying they need new blinds or they need new swing sets for the playground. They need money for their teachers. They need money for their students. They need money for supplies, educational supplies.
Further debate on amendment number 6? If there's no further debate, the question before the Senate is, shall amendment number 6 to Senate Committee Substitute, Committee Substitute House Bill 45, Finance, be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 6 to Senate Committee Substitute House Bill 45, Finance, has failed to be adopted by a vote of 8 yeas and 11 nays. Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 7 by Senator Jaroff, page 1, line 5, and this amendment has been distributed.
Senator Jarrow.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move amendment number 7.
There's a motion to adopt amendment number 7. There is objection. Senator Jarrow.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. This amendment here refers or reflects the need for the Skagway City School District. And the amount that would be inserted to meet the needs there, $124,440. Out of 160 total students, the native population here is about 1.2%. This reduction of approximately 125,000 will represent about 9% of their entire operating budget. It increases their class size by 15% as a result of losing two teachers. It'll delete their counseling program, their foreign languages program, the close-up program, their junior high athletic program, the drown proofing program for elementary students.
Is there further debate on amendment number 7? If there's no further debate, the question before the Senate is, shall amendment number 7, the Senate Committee Substitute House Bill 45 Finance, be adopted by the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so the Senate has failed to adopt Amendment Number 7 to Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute House Bill 45 Finance by a vote of 8 yeas and 11 nays. Would the Secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment Number 8 by Senators Lincoln and Jaroff, page 1, line 5, and this amendment has been distributed.
Senator Lincoln.
Mr. President, I move Amendment Number 8.
We have a motion to adopt Amendment Number 8, and there is objection. Senator Lincoln.
I feel almost defeated before I even begin to talk, but I'll give it a try anyway. I will take excerpts out of correspondence that I received, and I don't believe that these are correspondence that you all received, but I think that they can say best what the frustration that is being felt in our rural communities far more eloquently than I can. And I hope that the senator from East Anchorage listens carefully, because even though we talk about a pupil-teacher ratio, it is not the same out in Bush, Alaska, in rural Alaska. And I would invite the dear senator from East Anchorage to travel with me to some of these places to see the difference. Mr. President, the first portions, and I'll try and summarize, comes from the Tanana Tribal Council that says that, in part, it appears that districts that can least afford to lose funding are those districts whose funding was cut. By this, I mean the smallest districts appear to be singled out. This year in Tanana, it was 68 degrees below zero for more than a week. 40 degrees below zero is a normal winter temperature. I am not talking about wind chill factor. I am talking about straight temperature. Operating any program that includes building and vehicles at such extreme temperatures creates additional maintenance, operation, and replacement costs. These costs are a significant part of the Tanana City School operating budget. Despite the fact that Tanana as a community has no economic or tax base, great progress is being made toward the development of human and community resources. Strong partnerships have been developed between the Tribal Council and the Tanana City School District to address the needs of the children. Healthy and educated children mean a healthy and educated future for this community. In a time when the governor is equating Alaska village life with conditions in third world countries, it seems very strange indeed that the state legislature does not support one Alaska village that is showing leadership in becoming healthy, strong, and productive. The supplemental appropriation, while just a drop in the bucket by the state budget standards, represents a full 10% of our school budget. That is something a small school simply cannot absorb. Another piece of correspondence that is real difficult for me to summarize comes from the teacher and superintendent that says in part, "I never in my wildest dreams thought I would be writing a letter such as this to you. But what the Senate Majority Caucus did today to the children of 9 Alaska school districts is the legislative equivalent of child abuse and neglect. These districts are among the very poorest in the state, desperately needing single-site funding, and yet what can be described as the most calculated, unconscionable exhibition of transparently partisan politics, 11 senators chose to send a message to the poor and disadvantaged of Alaska that the Senate was going to make sure that they got poorer. 11 senators chose to tell the children of 9 districts that they didn't matter. 11 senators chose to shatter the dream of an equal education for the children of Bush, Alaska. And 11 senators chose to tell the people in those communities that if their legislators were not in the majority, then the children of those communities would be made to suffer. Senator Lincoln, why would these 11 senators do this to any children, much less those who are disadvantaged? Don't they realize that in many of these communities, most of the children come from homes that have no running water, no indoor plumbing at all, where there is not even the conveniences the majority of Alaskan children enjoy, and where the term children at risk means 60% of our population, 60, not 16, 60% of the population. And now these 11 senators want to take away the remaining few things in which these disadvantaged children take pride. Have these 11 senators no conscience at all? For our school district, cutting out our single site appropriation means cutting $122,000 or 10% of our entire budget. We don't have a forest tax or an oil well. We are a poor community with no tax base. When these senators took the oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution of Alaska, it was to protect and defend it for all Alaskans, not just those in their constituency. For these 11 senators to willfully attack defenseless children based upon who the children's legislators are is clearly the legislative equivalent of child abuse and neglect. Those of us in Bush, Alaska will do anything we can to help you answer these abhorrent behavior, which is completely unbecoming the office these 11 hold. Finally, Senator Lincoln, forgive me for being so blunt, but like you, I cannot allow anyone to harm the children I serve or any other children in Alaska for that matter. Isn't it sad those 11 senators don't feel the same? Further, from a parent, we have just lost $122,000 because someone is angry at our senator. The children of Tanana have nothing to do with that argument. Why are they being made to suffer some petty dislike that a bunch of adults feel for one another? Educators all over the state of Alaska try to instill in children every day that this type of behavior is not acceptable. What a great example you are setting. It must make you feel very proud of yourselves. The students in Tanana are learning about how a democracy works. What a great example of how it doesn't work. We all assume that when a person is elected to office from whatever district he or she still serves the state of Alaska. Now, I will have to tell my children this isn't so. People who are elected choose to act like naughty children. Further, Mr. Speaker, from the president of the school board in Tanana, in cutting our district from the single site supplement, it appears to be purely arbitrary, personal, and partisan political reasons. Essentially, you are holding our children hostage to your own internal politics with no justifiable rationale. You may have been elected from one district, but when you took the oath of office, you swore to uphold the Constitution and advocate for the best interest of all the people of Alaska, especially our children. This cut comprises 10% of our budget, 2.5 full-time employees, increasing the pupil-teacher ratio. Why would you even consider cutting back the funds for educating predominantly rural native kids who are already disadvantaged in so many ways? We can't even make up the difference in the funding, as we have no tax base or little local economy. We have already been held at the same amount of state funding since 1986 with no increases or inflation proofing, and additionally, we have had to beg for the extra amount that it takes to run a small school district every year. Another parent. Tanana City Schools has a high percentage of at-risk students due to alcohol and drug-related problems within our village. The proposed funding could wipe out some of the activities which are designed to give alternatives to this high social abuse within our community. Volunteers can only do so much. And finally, another member of the community, a parent. I can only think that senators that feel there is fat to cut from rural schools are terribly uninformed. For 5 years, I have taught in Tanana, a small community of about 400 people on the Yukon River. Life here is basic. Most families don't have running water. They heat with wood and practice subsistence hunting and fishing. Presently, 60% of our students are considered at risk. Again, pointing out, 60% of our students are considered at risk. Their needs are great, and the school provides them with the services they need to succeed in the village and the world beyond. Our superintendent and principal also teaches. Teachers volunteer time and services freely beyond the school day, providing after-school study hall, music lessons, computer lab, science club, just some of the few examples that are provided by volunteers and teachers of the community. If this was a cut taken by all Alaska schools, it would be more digestible. But how do we explain to our students, 90% of which are minority, that their education and their future success in life is not as important as those of other Alaskans? And Mr. Speaker, I just took excerpts from these pieces of communication that I've gotten, but I hope that some of you in this room have listened, for those letters come from the heart. It's not to save a job. It's not to save a pretty building or extracurricular items or fancy things within the classrooms, as none of us, I hope, are doing throughout Alaska, but it's to save our children again, to save our children that they might get the best education as anyone, regardless of where they live, regardless of whether we're talking urban, rural, regardless of whether we're talking black, white, brown, pink, purple. Every one of our children in this state should have quality education, for if they don't, we are going to see our state budget increase through the back doors of social programs. I urge you to vote yes on Amendment Number 8 on behalf of our children of Alaska.
Further debate on Amendment Number 8?
Mr. President.
Senator Pierce.
Thank you. I would just call to the body's attention that the community we've just been hearing about, all those letters, and I hope you were listening to who they were coming from, this community has the second highest average salary for teachers in the state.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I might point out that when we are talking about tenure for teachers, that we are not able to move our teachers around as freely as those of you who are in the urban populations, and we end up with teachers who are, some of them excellent teachers, who stay for long periods of time. So consequently, our teachers are, in this particular school, are at a higher, perhaps the higher level or the higher percentile on the chart. But that's not because of the fault of the children. And I would hope that the single site is not now being based upon, are we paying our teachers too much in the communities? Because then we're going to really get into a debate here on the floor.
Senator Lehman?
Mr. President, I was one of those who was listening to the member who just spoke as she read several of those letters. And in particular, one stood out to me, the one that was questioning the motives of the votes of, as she quoted, 11 members. And I don't know if her reading it means that she was translating that feeling into her own. But I just want to say that it does not represent how I feel about the town and our children or about my commitment to Alaskan education.
Senator Lincoln.
I do appreciate that, Mr. President. Then I can assume that we're not going to see another 11-8 vote on that chart up there. Thank you.
Senator Kelly.
President, in reference to that particular letter, if that's the one that I received from the superintendent of the school district out there, I'm wondering if the senator from Rampart could tell us how much we're paying that person to be the school superintendent in that area.
Senator Lincoln.
That is not the same letter that I read from the superintendent that you received. It is a different letter. I don't have on my desk here how much we're paying the superintendent in Tana. Can you tell me how much we're paying your superintendent in your community?
Senator Duncan.
Or maybe the other question would be, could you tell us how much it costs to buy him out? Mr. President, I don't see the relationship here between the salary of teachers and the salary of administrators and the fact that you're taking money away from basic education. We could go into the Anchorage School District and take away $42 million, 16% of their budget, as a senator from Kodiak quoted. It would not impact the teacher's salaries or the administrator's salaries. That's not how you impact that. That's done through another process. It's called collective bargaining, and that's done on a local level. The thing that's being overlooked, of course, when you talk about the salaries of those teachers in this area, or the salaries of the teacher or the administrator, is how much does it cost to live there? We all know that in rural Alaska, it costs a whole lot more, perhaps, to live there, and you got to pay a different level to get people to go teach in some of these places. Maybe if we really provide good quality buildings and waters and sewer systems and everything else that the people in Anchorage and Juneau and Fairbanks have, maybe it wouldn't cost us quite as much, but we haven't done that yet. And you've got to provide a certain level of salary to attract quality teachers to rural Alaska. That's just a fact of life. And there's two statements made by the co-chair of finance and the senator from East Anchorage about how much are people being paid. It doesn't have any relationship to the argument that those individuals who wrote the letter were making. You're not impacting the teacher or the administrator. That administrator is going to be there no matter what. You're hurting children.
Senator Jaro.
Thank you, Mr. President. I concur wholeheartedly with my colleague from Juneau has just stated. I'd like to take it one step further here and expand there that this reduction to Tanana there is going to represent in a 10% budgetary cost loss there, which is going to mean that they are going to lose a fourth and fifth grade teacher. Not only that, they'll lose a secondary math and science teacher. Now you're getting two for one in any urban school district. How many urban school teachers there teach math and science to their students there? I guess that's not a fair argument. I could think of it as being there, but the thing is, in an urban setting, you're dealing with one subject or two subjects, and you've got that all day long. In a rural setting, you've got grades K through 12, and a lot of times you do a lot of doubling up
and you're teaching grades 1, 2, and 3, 4, 5, and 6, and then you get into 7, 8, 9, and then the high school programs, and you're getting a lot more for the dollar. I know a lot of people don't believe that, but you're getting a lot more for the dollar in many of your rural schools, plus you've got the area differential, which we have no control over. That in itself there will increase the cost of the personnel there, depending on where you are, as much as 50% more. Incidentally, to keep my argument going on the Native students that are being impacted, out of 99 students in Tanana, 84.8% are Native.
Senator Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. President. If we are indeed then talking about, from the questions that I'm hearing coming out on the floor, is the arguments that are being made for the teacher-pupil ratio, superintendent salary, teachers' salaries, that then I'm to assume that when we went through each and every one of these single-site districts, that that was the justification for increasing, just to select a few, increasing the Wrangell City School District from 152,000 to 198,000, then where the justification is that the teachers were paid too low, the superintendent was paid too low, the pupil-teacher ratio was not sufficient. I mean, I'm just making that assumption then, and somebody could correct me if I'm wrong, that that is then how we came to arrive at, rather than minority-majority, that the Finance Committee did look at each and every single one of these as to who's being paid and how much, and there was some justification then. Is that a proper assumption to make? To be like the chair, the minority speaker and answer my own question because I don't know the answer. And obviously no one else does.
If there's no further debate, the question before the Senate is the adoption of Amendment Number 8 to Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 45, Finance. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so Amendment Number 8 to Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute House Bill 45 Finance has failed to pass the Senate by a vote of 8 yeas and 11 nays. Senator Taylor?
Why do we have a brief at ease?
Without objection, we'll stand at ease briefly. Back to order. Yeah, we're getting there. Will the Senate please come back to order? Go ahead. Senator Duncan. Okay, the call is on the calendar, just so we know what it is. I think we have one member that's still out, Senator Lehman. We'll stand at ease in place. I'm sure he's just coming in right now. Senator Curtula?
It's unusual, but while we're at ease, because many things are going to take place yet this afternoon in committee.